Well, I want this morning, I just want to look into some verses from Ezekiel. Now, most of the Old Testament prophecies and prophets talks about the gloom and doom, and the message is about coming judgment. But in the middle of their message, there's always a message of hope, faith, repentance, forgiveness, and restoration. So, like Ezekiel 18, verse 2 says, "For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live." So, Ezekiel is a book that many try to avoid reading. I'm guilty of it because it's a hard book to understand. Now, who was Ezekiel? He was an exile prophet. He was one of the thousands of captives taken to Babylon. And he had the thankless job of proclaiming God's message in the crowded and hostile city of Babylon. He was strengthened by God, and for his many faithful years of ministry, and he was a challenge and strengthened, and he was a challenging and strengthening to his fellow exiles. But he was a priest as well. So if you turn to Ezekiel 1, Ezekiel 1, verse 3, says, "The word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel the priest." So he was a priest. And I was kind of fascinated by that that phrase, "The word of the Lord came." You know? And it mentions 50 times in this book. It always introduces a divine message. The name Ezekiel comes from the verb meaning to seize or to grab hold of, to hold fast, combined with the term meaning God. So here, Ezekiel's name indicates that he was a man whom God had seized. Now we talk about David, that he was a man after God's own heart. Ezekiel is a man whose heart God has seized. And we turn to chapter 4 of Ezekiel. And you know, God, he had some unusual, sometimes strange things he was told to do by God. You know, God told him to do some certain things, like right here we read Ezekiel 4, verse 4. "Lie also on your left side and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that you lie on it, you shall bear their iniquity, for I have laid on you the years of the iniquity, according to the numbers of days, 390 days. So you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Israel. And when you have completed them, lie again on your right side. Then you shall bear the iniquity of the house of Judah, 40 days. I have laid on you a day for each year." Can you imagine laying on your left side for 390 days and another 40 days on the right side? I can't even do that for an hour. But again, whatever God commanded him to do, he did. And we turn to, and one of the saddest, oh, well, I'll get to that in a minute, but I just wanted to see the other unusual things that he was told to do was baking bread over dung. at shaving his head. And then he was told to pack his bag and to put it through a hole on the wall. And it's just amazing what all things he was told. And everything he was told, he did. But the saddest part was when I was reading chapter 24 of Ezekiel, verse 15, it says, "Also the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke, yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head and put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips and do not eat man's bread of sorrows." So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died. And the next morning I did as I was commanded. Ezekiel was given a divine message, a command that was extremely hard for him personally, but he faithfully communicated it to his people. And he absolutely obeyed the Lord. He was a remarkable man. He was an extraordinary man. But today, I just want to look at chapter 37. And, you know, Ezekiel was given many visions, and this is one of the visions. So I'll read the first 14 verses of Ezekiel 37. "The hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by all around, and behold, there were many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Surely I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. Also he said to me, Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on the slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came upon them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, Our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from the graves. I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I will place you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord." So this is a very interesting passage. The vision of the valley, vision in the valley of the dry bones, is a very, very familiar passage. But we need to remember that God is not speaking to the church in those verses. He's speaking to the nation of Israel. It says that in verse 11. So he sees them as a dead nation. And he promises this dead nation that a day will come when he will raise them from the dead and use them again for his glory. So when Ezekiel received this vision, he found himself surrounded by the bones of the dead. Everywhere he looked, he saw dead people. He was commanded to preach to them. And then he was commanded to pray over them. And when he obeyed the Lord's command, Ezekiel saw those dead bodies brought back to life. He saw the Lord's grace on display in that graveyard. And that is the thought I had this morning. Like Ezekiel, we are surrounded by the dead. Everywhere we look, there is evidence of the spiritual death that dominates our world. And like Ezekiel, we have been sent out to tell the dead ones that they can live. From where Ezekiel stood that day, that task must have seemed impossible. And today, from where we are, we might think the task is impossible. But if we do as the Lord commands, it is possible, just like Ezekiel did. So my question is this: are we up for the challenge? Is the mission impossible? Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Can we reach out to the dead? Is it possible to reach out to the dead? Can we, do we tell others about the good news of salvation? This world is filled with the living dead. And if we are going to sense the great need of the world around us, they have to hear the gospel. We must have a clear grasp of the condition they are in. We cannot sit back. Urgency is needed. So the vision Ezekiel saw was very shocking. He saw a valley full of dry, scattered bones. It depicted the desolation, destitution, and devastation of Israel. And until we have a similar vision of the world in which we live, we will not be stirred into action. We need to see what Ezekiel saw when he looked out over that valley of dry bones. Verse 1 says, what did he see in verse 1? He saw death. Right? The bones speaks of death. Since so many bones were in one place, it may be that Ezekiel saw the aftermath of a great battle. If that is the case, it must have broken his heart. One of the worst insults a Jew could suffer was to be denied a proper burial. So here's a valley filled with the bones of the dead, defeated by their enemies and left to rot where they fell. Ezekiel saw a vision of death on a massive scale. When we do see, when we look around the world around us, what do we see? We see people living in luxury. People are going, round about their ways, fancy cars, good homes, raising families. They might be intellectual. They might be charming. But if they do not know Christ, they are spiritually dead. Paul tells us that men and women are dead in trespasses and sins. Ephesians 2. This can be true of anyone. It could be our family member, our co-workers, our neighbors. They might show a life physically, a life full of it, but they hold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. We need to see the world as it is today. So he saw death. Verse 2, he he saw devastation. The bones Ezekiel saw were very dry. They had been on that valley floor under the severe heat of the sun until they were sapped of all moisture. In that condition, they were fit for nothing but to be burned, gathered and burned. They were absolutely useless. And we need to recognize that this is the very condition of the lost that live around us. In Romans 3:12, Paul says, they are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doth good, no, not one. The word unprofitable means to be useless. This verse reminds us that the Lord, that he cannot use them for his glory. We should ask the Lord to open our eyes and help to see the devastation of the world around us. The lost are trapped in sin and they cannot escape. They are spiritually dead and devastated by their sins. And we look at the families around us, families ruined by drugs and alcohol and sexual sin, destroyed. They seem happy, yet they're headed to hell. They need someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. And until we understand where they are, we will not be moved to reach them with the gospel. So he saw death, he saw devastation, and verse 11, he saw defeat. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. The nation of Israel was defeated and had reached a place where they saw no way out of their captivity and no hope for their future. In a sense, they were not living, they were merely existing. Ezekiel saw their hopelessness and was moved by it. The Bible describes the lost around us as having no hope and without God in the world. The hopelessness in the world is easy to see. The restlessness of the nations, the upheavals in our culture, the condition of our economy, the constant threat of war, all speak to the fact that people feel hopeless. When there is peace in the heart, there is rest in the life. When peace is missing, hopelessness reigns. We have 10 more minutes. So let us ask the Lord to help us to see the hopelessness of the lost that live around us and pray that the Lord will give us a burden for the lost who are dead, devastated, and defeated in their sins. We need to pray that we will tell them about a Savior who died to save them for their sins. It was a personal responsibility. As Ezekiel looked over the valley of dry bones, God spoke to him and told him what to do. Ezekiel was shown that he had a personal responsibility to that valley of dead, dry bones. That same responsibility that rested on Ezekiel's shoulders rests on ours today. And then he was commanded to preach, verse 4. Prophesy upon these bones and say to them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel was commanded to preach to a valley filled with skeletons. Now, nothing could be more foolish or ridiculous than to preach to a bunch of dry bones. Now, don't leave here and go and preach to any dead bodies today, okay? We have to preach when they are living. So when God says in verse 3, he asks a question, Son of man, can these bones live? You can see Ezekiel's answer. O Lord God, thou knowest. You can almost hear the hesitation on his part as he considered the utter futility of his assignment. There can be little doubt that Ezekiel was overwhelmed by the sight of all the death, the devastation, and defeat he saw represented by those dry bones. And anyone who sees the true condition of a lost world can understand Ezekiel's response. Humanly speaking, what is more difficult than to confront a world of lifeless, useless, hopeless men and women with the word of the gospel. Yet this is the clear obligation of the church and every born-again believer. This is not for a select few. Everyone seated here and listening to this message has a responsibility. And what does the lost world need? They don't need to hear about our church, our denominations, or our opinions. They need to hear the gospel. And then he was commanded to pray. Verse 9, breathe upon the slain that they may live. With the preaching, there may be a noise, a shaking, a coming together of bone to bone, and even the appearance of sinews and skin. But we read, there was no breath in them. Ezekiel had preached the word of God to the bones. They had the appearance of life, but they were still dead. They needed the touch of God before they could live. And he was commanded to pray that the Lord would breathe on them and make them live. Through preaching, people may be convinced of truth, but they will remain mere corpses until the Spirit of God breathes upon them. And then verse 10 to 14, we see there was a supernatural resurrection. In response to the preaching and praying of Ezekiel, the Lord moves in power. And several amazing things take place when God brings the dead bones to life. Verse 10, we see how they were activated. We read that they lived. These corpses were animated, vitalized, brought back to life. As the astonished prophet watched, a valley filled with the dead came to life. The same thing can happen today when we share the gospel. Even a good religious man like Nicodemus was blind in sin. He could not see the kingdom of God. He was bound in sin. He could not enter the kingdom of God. He was born in sin. He could not inherit the kingdom of God until he was quickened by the Spirit. The new birth is a supernatural event. It's a time when God raises those who are spiritually dead to new life in Jesus Christ. It is a sovereign event. It's amazing to experience it ourselves and witness to others. They were animated. They stood up on their feet. God brought them to life, and then he caused them to stand before him. While we should have a burden to see dead men and women quickened to life, we should also be concerned that they are strengthened to stand for Christ and his church. And they were associated. They were transformed into an exceedingly great army. Verse 10. One moment they are dead bones filling a valley. The next they are mighty, living army ready for Lord's use. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to bring individual units into a whole. Paul writes that by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and we were exhorted to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So God brings his people out of the deadness of sin to a new life in Jesus Christ. He saves them. He gives them spiritual gifts and places them in a local church, just like ours, where they can work along with other resurrected sinners for the glory of God. May the Lord help us to see that we are not to be isolated units, but that we are to stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in verse 14, this we see how they were assured, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. It's a promise to the nation of Israel that they will be restored to their land, and that they will receive his blessings again. Then he says, then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it. God wants Israel to know what he's about to do is a sovereign work. They just need to believe him. The same is true for the church. The days of God's blessing is not over. God is still the same God he has always been. And he's still working in supernatural, sovereign ways to accomplish his will in the world. And we need to ask the Lord to give us a vision of the lost as they are really are, to give us a burden to reach others with the gospel. So in conclusion, let me ask, is it possible? Can the bones, dead bones, live? Yes, they can. When we look at the world around us, what do you see? The mission that has been given to the church seems impossible. But we can fulfill our commission if we look to the Lord for the help and strength we need. Yes, the bones can live. They need a witness to tell them, a warrior to pray for them, and a wonderful God to draw them to Jesus. They can live. May God use us for His glory. Let's pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word. We pray that we might be a blessing to others, that we might be burdened by what we see around us, the people that are lost in sin. We may be a channel of blessing to them, bring the good news of salvation to them. Help us all to have that special interest in that. Help us and use us for thy glory. In Christ Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.